Or Valentine's Day special.
That's hilarious.
We are here with Pamela Wagner, and I'm very, very excited. We're talking about how to chill out in your business so that you can achieve a lot more. Quick intro about Pamela. She has been to 100 countries. She's actually country hopping. We were talking about it right before we started. She's in New Zealand right now, flying to Fiji, if I remember correctly. Yes, beautiful. She's bootstrapped and built a six-figure agency with absolutely no entrepreneurial background. Worked with Google, being featured multiple times in Forbes. Got a master's degree at Harvard, and she climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And now she's helping people with live their best lives through her brand, Hustle Less and Live More. But enough of the formalities. Pamela, welcome. Tell us a bit about you, how you became the person you are today.
Thank you. And by the way, you're really good at introductions and just putting different pieces of information into a story. So, yeah, very,
Well,
very well done with that one.
it's easy when I'm reading your bio that you sent to me right on the screen, and just being honest about our previous conversation. I mean,
Thank
it's not a
you.
difficult job, but appreciate it.
Yeah, so I think where I am today was not planned. There was nowhere like a 5-year or 10-year plan. That's not something I've ever really worked with. It might be something I'm starting to work with now, but I think it is a culmination of like different kinds of life experiences that literally led me through like ups and downs to where I am today. And along the way, noticing what is it that I can provide value for other people. And how can I help them get to where they want to go in their lives through different ways? And I always say what I do is like I pretty much show people opportunities that they didn't know existed before. And the way I do this is by, on the one hand, like, sorry, advertising, or on the other hand, stress reduction transformation.
I love it. It's a very powerful combination. Do you find that, like your agency clients kind of, or you find yourself rather helping your agency clients with their stress as well?
It's interesting because at one point the conversation always happens, where whether they're like at a point where they don't know what to do anymore with their business, or they are overwhelmed by all the data, or they don't know what to focus on anymore. So, and I encourage my clients to open up about that. So I really encourage them, and it's okay if somebody tells me once, "Hey, I'm tired," or I mean, one of my clients got a kid like 2, 1.5 years ago. And so I've been with her from like, the point of like before the pregnancy, getting pregnant and so on. And I've always said like, you got to be well first. And if we need to move a meeting or if you're not feeling well, it's okay.
100%, 100%. Because, I find that so many times we get so wrapped up in the strategies. Okay, I need to level up my marketing. I need better offers. I need better funnels. But we tend to forget about the inner aspect. I usually use this analogy that strategy is the car, mindset is the fuel, right? And mindset could be just the way you choose to see yourself, the way you choose to see your day, the way that you choose to show up during your day. And most of the times you have this Ferrari, but because it doesn't have any fuel, or the fuel has, dirt in it, or it's not the best fuel, it kind of, it's not really running, right? So is this a paradigm that you often like talk to, like at least for your stress, your clients for,
Yeah,
I think.
I got you. So yes, I think I like the analogy with the Ferrari because it relates to sports, and in sports there's been tons of studies around like how stress affects sports performance and so on. And what they found is that if athletes are stressed, then the effect of the training reduces by 30%. So if you go to the gym while you're stressed, you can work out as much as you want, but the effect on your body is not going to be as good as if your mind is actually at peace and in a relaxed way.
Very interesting. And that's a doesn't apply just to your body. It's also your output, your creative output, right?
Yeah, because that enables you to get immediate feedback from other people. Is what I'm doing of value to other people? Is it of service? Are they finding a benefit in it? Right? And so getting that feedback is extremely important.
Because like something I heard from Joe Dispenza, or there's been extensive studies on the brain and this aspect. Whenever you're stressed, you're actually stupid.
Yeah, and that's very easily explainable. What I tell people is literally when you're stressed, what happens with the blood is it goes into your arms and your legs because you automatically go into fight or flight mode. So your blood goes away from where you need it most, which is your brain and your core organs. And so as long as you're in that stress mode, you can't think clearly, right? And if that stress happens over an extended period of time and you don't do anything, then it literally manifests in the body later on, and it can get triggered at the slightest similarity, and you're already stressing it without knowing why now.
Do you find that stress is really an addiction?
Yeah, and it's something that I have even observed about myself, where sometimes I feel that my mind is just trying to make something negative up just to feel that stress because it was something very, very much existing during my childhood. So then now I can catch myself in these moments, be like, no, there's nothing we need to make up here. I literally give myself that little pep talk and be like, nope. And then I switch into like a positive opposite.
But let's say, let's make this a bit more concrete, because like everybody knows that you shouldn't be stressed, that stress kills you, and all that. It's like eating junk food at the end of the day, right? What is the actual, real, tangible cost for a business owner that doesn't develop this muscle of catching themselves when the mind, creates these opportunities for stress? What is the real tangible financial cost, or like relationship cost? Let's make it real.
Yeah, so for businesses like anywhere around the world, it literally costs them trillions and billions, no matter what you look at, if it's like Gallup or like the World Health Organization, all of them have published studies that stress-related issues cause depression, burnout, and oftentimes people even lose an average of one day per work per month. And so if you add that up, obviously 12 days, and you can multiply that in terms of whatever it costs for that employee to work in your company. So people are really not just losing productivity, but they're also missing out in terms of employee retention because employees will just change company if it gets too much. If companies don't provide an open space to talk about it, if they don't provide the respective programs. And it's so interesting because what I see a lot of companies do these days is that they create these high potential programs to foster people and to really help the best ones stay longer. But what happens is when you look at the people that are selected for these programs, almost every single one is like burnt out, super stressed, has health issues, and so on.
Because they usually select the ones who would give everything for the company or for the role, right? And that's not always a good idea.
No, and it's the sad thing oftentimes is, and I see this even a little bit more with women than men, is that they think it's normal for me to have to feel headache every morning. To in some instances, I've even talked with people who have eating disorders. They're like, it's normal for me to throw up every day at like 5 p.m. because that's what I'm used to doing, and that's my stress response. And
I mean, I usually have a huge stress response. It's like if I'm not coaching and I'm with myself, like when I'm coaching, I always feel this huge level of calm, confidence, and there's no rush to do anything, right? But when I finish the calls, or I'm doing by myself, doing the business stuff, there's always this huge tendency, this huge attraction to being stressed, right? And I think it's part of it is the model that I got from my father. My father has a huge tendency, like any small thing would trigger him. He sold the business now, thankfully, but any small thing would just trigger this tremendous stress response, right? So what would be some insights for myself so that I also catch myself faster?
So the one metric I tend to give people is that it takes about, I think, 7 seconds for a feeling to become an emotion, and then another about 5 to 7 seconds to manifest in your body. So if you manage to catch whatever you're feeling and being triggered from in the first 15 seconds, then you're able to change not just your emotional, but also your physical response to it. And there are different techniques. Some people use anchors. So if I feel like I'm starting to get stressed, I'm gonna snip with my finger or do something else. That's usually more like unnoticeable. We have the typical breathing. So just like, breathing in 4 seconds, holding it, and then breathing out for like 7, 8 seconds. If you repeat that for 5 to 6 times, it automatically lowers like your blood pressure. It makes your body calmer, and with that helps distribute the blood again into like your head and everywhere else. And then the other aspect that I usually go into with my clients is that I look into, where does that stress really come from? Like, why are you taking that on from your parents? And what we find is that, and a lot of times people either are trying to please their parents, trying to get some sort of approval from their parents, trying to have some sort of a belonging to their parents, like showing that they
Interesting.
belong to the tribe. A very common reflection of that behavior is also complaining. So I noticed that about myself. Like, let's be honest, Austrians tend to complain a lot, and I don't really like that behavior. So I'm doing a lot to change that.
Don't tell anyone, but so do Romanians.
But then every time I'm with my family, I've noticed I start this complaining again because it makes me fit into the conversation and makes me belong, right? So, yeah.
Interesting. That's definitely making me think. Yeah, probably it's just kind of it's still an anchor of having something in common with my father, you know.
Yeah, having that connection, and then, we can think of, okay, what could be new experiences or anchors that we want to set, right? So that could be as easy as like every time you talk with your dad, you could, the first thing you mention is something good about your day. Or when you end the call or when you end the meeting is you exchange what was good about both your days, right? So there's this little like positive triggers, and if you start implementing them, it becomes a habit, and then the brain literally is being retrained to create a new experience here for you.
Interesting. So I need to train my dad to be more positive.
Actually, no, I thought that too. I was like, oh, how do I change other people? But what I found is just when I do it, others will catch on to it at some point. It might not be the first 5 times, but at one point they will catch on.
Yeah, it's I think it's like kind of like switching the anchor because let's be honest, our parents also want to have things in common with us. So like putting the anchor on their boat. Okay, I need a more positive anchor. Just have something in common with my kid.
Yeah, and remember, they want to see you happy. So whenever you are happy, then that becomes contagious to them. So they want to catch on to that.
That's true. They do have a tendency to live vicariously through me. So, yeah, great point and great tip. What's the difference between feelings and emotions?
That's a difficult one. I'm sure there's some neuroscientific explanation to it that I've learned at one point. An emotion usually goes deeper than a feeling. So, a feeling you can imagine is more on the surface level, and an emotion is much deeper than that. Psychologists tend to like disagree in terms of exact definitions. So, there's like different ones across the books. In general, even I use it as replaceable terms because for a normal person who hasn't studied it, it just becomes confusing if we differentiate it.
100%.
What's most important for the work is that one understands what's going on, that you're aware of it, and that you can name it. But whether what you name now is called a feeling or an emotion, for the progress to change it, in my experience, hasn't mattered a lot.
Yeah, what's coming up for me, like the image of, let's say you burn your finger on a stove, right? It's the feeling is okay, my finger hurts, but the emotion is like you get angry with yourself for not being careful enough that you burnt your finger. That would be kind of the emotion, let's say. But like, I think it's kind of like an energetic frequency to it. Like it's like you said, it's going deeper and deeper until it's like really deep in your body, and it's like you feel like it's gone out of control, and you're just being the thing rather than choosing
Yeah,
it.
that's a very good analogy. I think what, an emotion, as you're saying, that is also attached to the ego, because you suddenly start to making it about yourself, right? You're taking it personal. Whereas if you're saying, oh, I'm just hurt, okay, that is a fact because it hurts. But if you're not like, oh, damn it, I should have paid more attention or whatever, then you're making it about yourself and you're judging.
Beautiful. So if you had like one practical tip, because I want to get into something else as well, one super easy, super practical tip that anybody could use to better manage your emotions. But actually, rather, before we get into that, something else is also coming up. I feel like the reason why we don't pay enough attention to it is because, like, again, circling back to that, the cost of it is not super clear. For example, I used to do these like meditations on my with my watch, but this feeling that you get like sitting there 5 minutes, like I should be working, I should be working, I should be working, right? The fact that it's not clear that not taking this time is actually costing you a lot more than taking the time to meditate, I think that's the number one reason why we really don't give this enough attention. We prioritize this enough.
Yeah, and there's actually a very clear behavioral reason for that, because we cannot imagine something that we haven't experienced yet. So it's much easier for our brain to imagine something that we've experienced in the past. And if that was negative, it will keep drawing you towards that negative experience, even though the positive one might be much better. But changing to the positive one gives the brain an impression, oh, there's a risk. It's dangerous. Like, don't change because it's much safer to stay where you are, right? And speaking about the cost, I actually just pulled up some numbers, and the European Agency for Safety and Health at Work has found that European businesses lose a 617 billion annually because of work-related stress and its consequences. So
Interesting.
it's and that's in the US, it's obviously much higher. I think in the US it's about, yeah, it's $300 billion in absenteeism, turnover, and decreased productivity.
What was it in
So
the EU? In the EU? How many
in the
billions?
EU, it's $617 billion annually, euros.
Euros and 300 billion in the US.
In the US, yes.
That's insane. That's insane. Yeah. And it's interesting because like we also equate like how productive you are to how many hours you work. It's not a proportionate relationship.
So it's what I'm trying to tell people, and everybody is like in the beginning. Oh, let me take a step back. When people are noticing that something isn't working, they're like, damn it, I should change something. My time management isn't good. And while that can be a good first step, it's not about time management, it's about energy management. Like, really understanding when and how do you do the best work, and pretty much under which conditions, right? And then also understanding if you're feeling stressed right now, what is causing that stress? Is it because there's a lot on your to-do list and you feel overwhelmed? Is it because you don't know which step to take, so you're procrastinating on it? So if it's that there's a lot on happening, then what I literally recommend people is take a piece of paper and just write it down. Write down what you have to do. And for me, that helps me literally structure my brain. And without thinking, I automatically write down what's most important and I cross it out as I go along. If it's procrastination, what I tell people is look at what's the smallest step you can create right now for that task. Let's say you set yourself as a task to create a Facebook campaign, but maybe you've never done it before. So it might cause some overwhelm. You're like, oh my God, how do I do this? So if you keep procrastinating on that, what you could do is, you know what, what's the smallest step actually for me to get started on that? Maybe I could design an image. Maybe I could write the ad copy first. Maybe I could watch 15 minutes on YouTube about how to set up a Facebook ad campaign. So break it down in as small as the smallest step possible so that you create little wins for your brain. Because the little wins on your daily to-do list will literally keep motivating you that you continue doing what you're doing.
I think there's also a factor of confidence at the same time, because like I see with my clients, like when you 100% believe that by doing something you're going to get an end result, regardless of the time frame, right? It might be a month, might be a year, but like if you have 100% confidence by doing that, by doing the thing, it will work and you will figure it out, then there's no stress involved. I think like a big a lot of the weight around the neck when it comes to stress is not really like thinking that it's all going to be for nothing, like all of this work will amount to nothing. That's never going to happen for you. Would you agree?
I think it's very easy in the moment of stress to get into that, to just question yourself 100%.
Hey, this is Bogdan. Apologies for the interruption, but I really need your help. I'm honestly feeling a bit weird saying this, but every single person that I know, from friends, clients, to people that I talk to online, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying, I do not understand how this content is not reaching more people because it's so valuable. And honestly, instead of me feeling happy about it, like, wow, I'm putting out great stuff, it actually makes me feel every time I hear that, it makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong. I mean, like, what is it about this content that it's not, getting enough eyeballs and, it's not reaching as many people as possible? I personally want to help as many people as possible. And if you feel like this is valuable, like this content is valuable, this is what you could do to kind of support the show and support me as well. If you take a few seconds to rate this podcast, to rate this show, that would be tremendously helpful. And also sharing it with your friends, sharing it on social media would make a huge, huge difference in us building a real freedom community together. That's it. Apologies for the interruption, and I hope you enjoy the conversation or the content moving forward.
Of like, oh my God, like I'm not getting anything done and so on. So I think that's where your point of confidence helps. And I would even argue that one of the main outcomes of what you are selling to your clients is confidence. Like, yes, they're looking to make more money or to get, more steady income, but the way to that is being more confident in what you do. Because if you're confident in what you do and the value you provide, then you also have confidence to charge a certain amount of money.
Right. Well, it's always like confidence first, money second. But what I was curious, like, what do you feel are the beliefs that keep people stressed? Right.
Putting pressure on oneself. So a lot of people just feel pressure and then they start realizing, oh, damn it, I'm actually the one who's putting pressure on me, nobody else. Feeling not enough. So
Right.
feeling you are not enough to fit the role, to fit the job. And so you have to constantly do more. So you're caught in this, I have to do more because doing more will give me that confidence and that outcome, which
Right.
is a flaw in itself, right? In the thinking. And trying to please other people. So, and by pleasing other people, we are either fulfilling, again, a lack of childhood appreciation that we didn't get from our parents, or we are appealing to number two, where like, I need to please people so that I can feel enough.
So, what are your thoughts on the like hustle culture, the Gary V's, the Alex Hormozis who say, do the work and you will find the confidence?
So I think it's extremely important when one gets started. Like in your 20s, and I did this too. I mean, during my university, I didn't just study, I volunteered, I worked, I traveled, like I did everything, had the short nights and everything. And it was cool, it was good. But I think people just keep that up for a longer
Right.
time than they should, and then miss out on building proper relationships, on, you know, doing things more efficiently. Like a lot of people, for example, a lot of men that I talk to that have become dads say, hey, once I got a child, I became so much more efficient because my time was now really, really limited. I could not extend it. I could not work into the night because there was this little human who needed my attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? So I think it's great in the beginning, but it's not healthy doing it in the long run.
Yeah. I always say it's always the other way around. It's like coming back to confidence first, money later. It's like, think of it this way, right? You're doing the work. Of course, you know, have a foundation, but you're working 10 hours a day, right? But you're kind of doing the same work. And you don't really feel enough. Let's say you flip that switch and all of a sudden, like we wave a magic wand, all of a sudden you do feel enough, you feel confident, you feel like you should have your message out there on bigger platforms, right? And you start opening up to new opportunities. Maybe you get featured on podcasts before you were afraid to do because you didn't feel like your message was good enough. All of a sudden, your output goes 20, 30, 50x just because you had that switch in confidence, right? So, like to me, I get pissed off when I see this mainstream narrative of work more because, in a sense, it's something I'm fighting as well, right? This tendency of working the whole day for a specific outcome, it's still kind of, it's so deeply ingrained in me. And I think I know why, you know, talking about it now. I know how it works, you know, for my clients, right? And I'm still in the process of taking my own medicine. But the thing is, I think it was so hard for me to work to get disciplined that when I actually did and I started seeing an output, I got addicted to that, right? But it's not that. It's exactly like you said. If all of a sudden I had a kid and only had 4 hours, I'm 100% certain that my output would be twice as better, right?
Yeah.
So very interesting. Very, very interesting. You know what? I'm gonna challenge myself moving forward to only work 4 hours a day.
And you know, I think like while we could work with like artificial limitation, there's this concept of artificial limitation. To
Right.
be honest, I don't think it works for most people because we have so much information overload. And by the time that we should limit ourselves, which is usually towards the later part of the day, we've lost willpower. We have decision fatigue. So, because we're tired, we've already made so many decisions. So, this
Right.
is why usually, if you have something real, like if, you know, somebody has a partner or the kid, right? Or, you know, takes up another hobby, that's much better than artificial limitation because you'll be sticking with it so much better.
So what you're saying is that I need to get to work on having a kid.
That's up to you and your partner.
Thank you, Pamela. That was all the coaching I needed.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I have to go. See you.
Have fun.
Oh, I will. I don't know about my partner, but I will.
hilarious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I still want to go into that technique that people can play around with, but tell me about your travels. Why
Sure.
do you love travel so much? What was like some of the countries that really, really surprised you?
Yeah, so I started traveling heavily on my own when I was somewhere around like 17 when it started, because I started university early at 16. And I couldn't study abroad, so because we didn't have the finances, I didn't know how to go about scholarships and everything. So I thought, well, I'll stay, study in Vienna, study for free, and then work and just travel and or work abroad. And the first internship that I kind of like applied to, I applied to over like 50 internships in like many different countries. And ended up at the very age of 18 going to Nigeria because I figured that I wanted to go to a country that's mostly negatively portrayed. I
Very
to
interesting.
like see how it really is, because I couldn't believe that it was all like kidnapping and violence and drugs and blah, 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 right? So I went to Nigeria at the age of 18 and it completely changed my mind. Like my way of thinking is like I literally, as I got into that airplane in Vienna, I left all the patterns and behaviors that I knew behind me. And I was like, let me start afresh and see what characteristics people have there that I can learn from, what attitudes there are that I can take on. And I think one of the most important aspects that I learned there was patience, because in Austria or in Vienna, if you're waiting for the bus and it's like 2 minutes late, people are getting stressed out and they're complaining, right? But I mean, in Nigeria, you just wait for 2 hours sometimes, or you wait until the bus is full and you don't know, right? So
Interesting.
I just had to get that different perspective, but it also obviously made me healthier because now I don't get stressed out when something is late. Like when my airplane is late, I'm like, great, I can get some more work done, you know, or I can eat some more food in the lounge or whatever. So it tr my travels have really taught me to not stress about things I cannot influence that are beyond my control. And in terms of, I mean, obviously Nigeria was kind of like unexpected. Started my love for sub-Saharan African countries. Vietnam was very unexpected too. I mean, people have kind of told me about this like hidden treasure, but I swear to you, I've never been to a country where there were so many nice people and kind people so consistently. Like I met one stressed out person. Other than that, no matter who you met and where you went, they were kind, had a smile on their face. Like it was just so genuine. And I was just blown away by that. So Vietnam, highly recommend it to people. And I think the other more so unexpected, but I couldn't really know what to expect, was Dubai. So I used to live in Dubai because I did a part of my master's degree there. And what I really appreciate about living in Dubai is the amount of diversity you have. Almost everybody's a foreigner, so about 10 to 15% are Emiratis, and the rest is all foreigners. So everybody's always looking to meet new people, to have a chit chat. So it's a very friendly, community-driven environment, and it was amazing for business exploration, learning about that, studying business, and yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. I lived abroad as well for 6 years and completely transformed me. For the better, for the better. It's great growing up in a community, but you're also you. There's like a ceiling that you cannot go over in any community if you hang around there too much. But getting exposed, like to give you a simple example, growing up, like all of us, you could like parents, grandparents, everybody would complain about the country, about Romania, right? And we were like, oh my God, the Americans have it so good, the Germans have it so good, the Austrians have it so good, right? Like the countries are amazing. They're like, wow, Romania is the worst. So I went to Crete to study hotel management, and we were like 22 different nationalities. And guess what? Americans were complaining about the US, Germans complaining about Germany, Austria were complaining. I'm like, what the hell? What did these guys have to complain about? And yet they still did, right? So whenever I hear somebody say, well, us Romanians are like, I always default to this. Like, it's not like us Romanians, like, people are people all over the world, you know?
It's I mean, I anyway tell always like every one of my students, just go abroad, just go abroad, just to experience, because it will open your mind beyond anything that I can explain, right? And one of the journeys that really showed me that, or the trips that showed me that, was when I went to Pakistan. And so I got invited to like host a national conference there. And I mean, that in itself is a country where so many people tell you not to go, right? And I stood there on that stage and I saw these like, was it like 200 people in front of me, young people, everybody in their like early 20s. And every single one, like, so full of hope. So many of them doing amazing things, like volunteering, helping out in their community, building like small businesses. And I was like, I wish we saw more of this. Like, these are the stories that need to be told, not talking about a little district somewhere where somebody killed somebody again, right? Because there's so many more people doing, like, 90% of people do awesome stuff. So, yeah.
True. True. Yeah. The truth is, like, kindness is the default, right? And it's like whenever you hear something negative, it's like it's different. It sparks your attention, but then you start to believe that the world is the other way around, right? Interesting. So, that's an interesting insight. So, if kindness is the default, but we have this tendency to believe that the world is shit, right? Because of the news, that means like being chill is also our default. But we've been sold this idea that you have to be stressed, that that's the default. Yeah.
Yeah, because our brain
Interesting.
reacts 7 times harder to anything negative than positive. So this is why news works. And news is a the media institution needs to make money. And the way they make money is when you share articles and when they get traffic, because that's what brings people to their site.
Yes, and speaking of negative versus positive, we just had a power outage.
Oh no, I thought it was a Mayan. I thought my internet had given up. There we are.
Yeah, I was saying we've been having power outages today and yesterday like crazy. It's never been like this. I don't know what's wrong, but it looks like we're gonna have a special Halloween interview on my end at least.
Ooh, something different. Hold on. Here it's already February 14th on Valentine's Day.
Oh, perfect. I should let me adjust this then. Wait. Our Valentine's Day special.
That's hilarious.
It's
Great.
either Valentine's Day or it's like some weird satanic cult, ritual right now that I'm getting ready to do.
We'll let people judge.
Yeah,
It could
let us
also
know,
be a,
guys.
since we're talking about stress, we'd be like, this is a test. Whatever comes up first for you, this is how stressed you are.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah. Beautiful. This is the most interesting interview I've ever done. So, thanks for bearing with me.
I'm glad. You were saying about if the default state is kind people, then also the default state is being nice and chilled, right?
Yeah, I
So
mean like the opposite of stress, but we've been sold that the default is stress. It's kind of it's you've been like think about it, you know. Think about school. At least school for me was extremely stressful. It's the default since the first moment of school, it's amplified. So like reprogramming that is a huge decision for anyone, you know.
yeah. And I mean, school is, like most people know, that's something that was created, oh God, many, many years ago, let's put it that way. And it was created to make us fit into, like, this 8 hour day pretty much, and to be good workers, which
Yeah.
worked back then, but that didn't take into consideration that the population is going to grow, that people are going to have different needs, that people are going to live differently. So, and we are creatures of habit, so the only way we can change this is literally by doing the work ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. And through like being part of this community, like the, you know, our school community, like seeing people live differently, have different perspectives, have different standards for themselves. I think it's a huge, huge catalyst in that sense. Beautiful. So, Pamela, what would be a one tool that anybody could use to make life more chill, more productive, and more fun?
So, I know that recently, I think, was it Jay Shetty has started talking about the stop, swap, start, or something, like, to change behavior, to, like, stop doing it, swap it for something new, and then start doing whatever new thing that you want to do. The problem that I see with that, or the one step that's actually missing for a lot of people, is that once you stop yourself, you can only swap it if you are aware enough to not judge yourself. And a lot of people at that moment judge themselves and be like, and instead of saying, okay, let me just swap it, then they're like, oh, I did this again. I'm never going to be able to do it. And oh my God, like, why do I even want to change this? Like, there's all this negative self-talk. And so, really saying in that moment, when you're doing a behavior that you want to change, you know what? It's okay. It is what it is. It's part of me. Okay, just accepting yourself and giving yourself credit that you have the awareness, you made it to the step. And then you can say, okay, you know what? What would be the desired positive outcome or action that I want to take? And literally practicing that over and over again has been a game changer for me.
It's definitely a muscle that once built, it does become what we're talking about, your default. Beautiful, beautiful. Pamela, thank you so much. Where can people get in touch with you? What's the best place?
Thank you too. It was fun. I think right now the community that we're building is the best place. So if you go to bit.ly, it's a bit.ly link slash HLLM community, you're gonna find us there. It's a free group that we're calling From Hustle Monster to Calm Warrior, where we give you daily stress tips to help you release and transform stress quickly.
Beautiful. And by the way, guys, once you join the school community, there's like a leaderboard. It tracks your engagement. I love how you title the different levels of your leaderboard. It's very, very cool. The
Thank
different
you. I
stages.
got AI's help for that.
Beautiful. Awesome. Guys, there's going to be a link in the description of this video. Absolutely check it out. Check out Pamela's school group. And say hi to her on my behalf when you do join. And thanks. I'll see you again soon, Pamela. And see you guys
Thank you
next
too.
time. Hey, I really appreciate you tuning in. If you've enjoyed this and you'd like to support us with reaching more people, like I mentioned previously, taking a few seconds to review this podcast, give it a rating, and also sharing it with friends and family would mean the world to us. Thanks again. Oh, yeah, and almost forgot about this. For more insights, courses, and more powerful conversations around building a real freedom business, check out our school community. Link is in the description.